Get ready. It's time for the Idaho Podcast with your host, Danny Ventura. Welcome to the Idaho Podcast, where we feature the people who live, work, and play in Idaho. My guest is Kelsey Elwood, who is an author of the book Roots, Reflections, and Chaos. And we're just happy to have you on the show today. Welcome, Kelsey.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here.
Absolutely. So we always start with your Idaho story. I think you came to Idaho about 3 years ago. What is your Idaho story? What brought you here and what's kept you here so far?
Yeah, so in April, well, 22nd, I believe, is when we moved in. So yeah, about 3 years, we will be here. And I mean, we just loved it here. We came here a couple times and we visited and it was just great. I mean, we're the adventure. We love hiking, camping, all that, the mountains, everything's right there. I mean, the rivers, the water, just kayaking, everything we love to do is right here. The schools, the kids love, like, I just feel it's just so safe and I love all the people. And everybody's humble and kind. It's just amazing. I just love it here. I just like all of it. All of it.
And I think you're originally from California. So what is it, what about Idaho that lured you? You mentioned hiking and camping, but what specifically lured you to Idaho?
So we came here, like I said, we came here a few times and we drove through here. My husband's best friend had lived here. And so we stopped by and visited and we also made a trip out of it with our kids. And I was just like, I just love this. I love this place. The family started kind of slowly moving up here. So we're like, oh, maybe we could follow. And we never know or thought it would actually happen. It was kind of like we wish it could happen, but I was like, no, we're setting this in motion. We're doing this. We got to go. It feels right. We're doing it.
That's awesome. Yeah. And any regrets so far?
Nope. Honestly, I can't really think of any.
That's good. That's good. It is a beautiful place. We enjoy it for sure.
Yes, it is.
So you're an author of this fantastic book, Roots, Reflections, and Chaos, and it really is an autobiography, memoir, self-help, and motivational book. But also part of this book, part of the story is kind of a love story and how you met your husband. You've been writing for several years, I know, but what inspired this book?
So for the last, I want to say like 13, 14 years, I've been journaling. And I'd put all my poems down. I'd put all my, just however I was feeling that day, I'd write it down. You know, I had my little nightstand. I would put all my journals in there. They'd fill up. I'd get more journals, more journals, more journals. And I just had this collection of journals. And I knew one day I wanted to write a book. Even when I'm like 20 years, I was 20 years old. And I was like, I want to write a book. I know I want to write a book. But I wanted to also help other people, you know. And I knew it was the right time because I had gone through a lot of obstacles in my life and I felt like I had gotten through a lot of obstacles and I just felt like it was the time to put it out there, to write my story. It was also a bucket list of mine, you know, cross that off the bucket list, but I wanted to feel that book in my hands and be like, that's such an accomplishment. Like a self-worth, like the best feeling ever for me. And I knew I just needed to do it for me and for others and just to get my story out there for if anybody was struggling or just for me too, you know, to remind myself of everything that I have gotten through and where I'm at today and how blessed I am and everything.
That's great. Would you mind giving us a little more, some cliff notes on the book and what a reader could expect from the book?
Yeah. So it is a little bit about my background history, growing up, childhood, about my son that has a rare disability. And there's only about 300 to 500 children out there with it right now.
Wow.
A lot of them are getting misdiagnosed with autism. I mean, my son did too, but it's so close. Like all the ways that he acts and the personality, like it can kind of resemble that in a way. So it's kind of misconception that they just put it down as, okay, well, he must be autistic until you have to go and do a lot of blood work. You have to do just all kinds of stuff. So it took a while. We finally got answers. So it's a little bit about that. It's also about struggling with depression, anxiety, ADHD, getting through that, how I got where I am right now, my husband, how I met him, how we became best friends, how we dated, how we got married, how we moved to Idaho, it's a little bit about my, you know, my grandma, my mom, my dad, my sisters, there's a lot in there, a little bit about my in-laws and all that, and just mindfulness coaching and getting into that and trying to help others get through things that I've gone through, you know, a little bit of being an empath and how that's a struggle sometimes, but all together, just trying to be like a motivational, a lot of my poems in there, just my dark times on how to get through all of that. And, you know, there's a light at the end of the tunnel and just never to give up, basically, all in a nutshell. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of different things.
I like that. Never give up. That's important. Well, as you mentioned, so through the reflections of your own personal journey that you share in the book, you show readers that no matter what they're going through, what they came from, what challenges they may face, that they have the power to create a meaningful and fulfilling life for sure. Was that intentional, or was that more of a manifestation of the power of your personal story and self-discovery?
So it's a little bit of both, but I would say my self-discovery, because discovering myself and going through everything that I've gone through and knowing that I could get through that and become the person I am today. I see others struggle like that or talk to me and tell me these things, and I'm just like, man, I wish I could help everybody at the same time. Like, I just want them to know that this is not the end. They've got like this fixed mindset, you know, and I want to help them build a growth mindset and show them that I know you're going through this right now, and it seems like this is just it for you, but it's not, you know, there's more to it. And so just discovering that for myself led more to a lot of that as well.
Mm-hmm. And as a self-described empath, as you mentioned, mm-hmm. why is that important to you to share that?
Well, because I want someone to feel like, you know, they could trust me with their emotions and with their needs, and just, they have a friend, you know, they have somebody that understands. I could feel the emotion that they're feeling. I can understand before they even walk through the door how they're feeling in a way. And sometimes it does attach, you know, and I'll have to be like, okay, that's not my feelings. That's somebody else's right now. I have to learn to set boundaries a little bit, but then I come back it's just good to know that what they are feeling, like I said, along with the empath, as well as the whole, like, I've already gone through this kind of stuff myself, you know, it feels like they're more comfortable with me knowing that I've already gone through this and I can help them through this too, knowing that I am so intuitive with how they're feeling and what they're going through and how I've already done this and gone through this. And I mean, we still do it. I still go through stuff. Everybody does, you know, we're human, but it just gives me that connection with somebody a little bit more, I guess.
Okay.
So to say.
No, that's good. I appreciate you sharing that. Mm-hmm. You mentioned to me that your favorite place to write is down by the river, because you often take hikes and walks. And then also, in addition to that, one of your greatest influences is author, speaker, and even podcast host, Brené Brown, who I'm a big fan of her. And she's written books such as Dare to Lead, Daring Greatly, The Power of Vulnerability, and Atlas of the Heart. Great, great books. And she's written several more, but just a fantastic writer. What is it about being by the river coupled with Brené Brown's influence that causes you to want to help others through your writing?
So that's a great question. And yes, all of her books are amazing. So when I would go down by the river, I was going through a lot of my own personal battles, and my mindset was so negative, and it was hard to get out of that train of thought. And I just pulled up an article one day about Brené Brown. I was like, well, I got to get into, you know, reading this. I want to know this woman that's helped so many people. So I just started ordering all her books, and I'm like, okay, there's something that I need to do. So I'd bring a book down with me by the river, and I'd walk down, and I'd just find my little area, sit down, and I would just open the book, read, bring my highlighter. I would just find so many things that were so relevant. And it was like she was writing the book about me. And that's what's so good about her writing, is it's just like, if you're going through something and you open her book, doesn't matter what chapter it is, it's like, oh my gosh, that's exactly, she's like writing for me, you know? And so it's like healing in a way. And it starts to help you program your mind a little differently, so that, you know, if you want to help others as well as yourself, it's kind of like that book was my tool, it was the tool to go back and I'm like, okay, I got something out of this. I got something out of this today. I'm going to take this back and I'm going to use this for myself and, you know, reflect and see if I can kind of heal myself. And it started to work. I mean, like I would do like 2 chapters, 3 chapters a day by the river. And then I would go home and I would quickly be like texting my girlfriends or my mother-in-law or whoever and be like, this is like amazing. I know you're going through something. I just want you to read this or whatever, you know? And then I'd come to terms. I would relate it with my life and what I was going through. And then I would kind of start writing my own, you know, my own feelings and my own ways of getting through that I thought would benefit too, and kind of just meshed them both together with my ideas and her ideas. And I just started working. I don't know. It just helped.
It's interesting because I've always conveyed to friends and colleagues and folks I've worked with and so forth, family members, we each of us has a bag. We all have a bag of, I'll call it a bag of crap. And every single one of us, not one of us is exempt from it. Every single one of us have a bag, and some of the bags are more full than other bags. Mm-hmm. And our journey in life is not getting rid of the bag. We always have to have the bag because that helps refine who we are. Mm-hmm. The experiences we go through refine who we are. But our job is to offload some of the crap in the mm-hmm. bag, because otherwise the bag gets too heavy to carry, and that load becomes burdensome in so many physical, emotional, and so many spiritual, in so many ways. And I love what I hear you saying is because you're working through the bag and you're trying to minimize the weight of it. And I love that you use not only places to get to a clear mindset, but also mm-hmm. Inspirational writings and writings of others like Brené Brown, who really influence how you think and how you write.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. I understand. I've heard the whole bag concept too. I used to do a meditation where they talk about like the hot air balloon and you've got the sandbags on each end. So just imagine yourself getting into that hot air balloon and you slowly, and you know, you release one bag and it gets a little lighter. Then you go and release the other one, you know, until you get to the, you know, whether it's anxiety for one bag and depression for the other, whatever, you're releasing that. And then all of a sudden you start to float. So that was another concept that helped with the meditation and like getting rid of whatever's in each bag, you know, anxiety, depression, and trauma, whatever it is, you're releasing that and you're lighter and you're floating. And it's just, that just reminded me of one of the meditations that I did. And it's amazing. So
I love that because again, all of us have come through challenges. We all experience trauma in different ways, or certainly life experiences that aren't always positive. And so I think it's when we refuse to deal with it, then we let that thing define us, and we can't allow it to define who we are. I think we're made for more than that. So we have to allow those things to refine us, but also keep going and keep on lightening the load. So,
yeah. And yeah. Going through the pain is a big thing. Mm-hmm. Go through the pain,
get through the pain. You have to confront it,
feel it, and then let it go. Mm-hmm. Always have something to look forward to is what helps me out a lot too.
You also mentioned some of your other favorite authors, Freda McFadden, who is an actual medical doctor who writes psychological thrillers such as the Housemaid series, and then Lisa Jewell, who is a British crime novelist, and she writes Ralph's Party, 30-Nothing, The Family Upstairs, mm-hmm. The Night She Disappeared, and her latest book is None of This Is True. And then Mitch Albom, who is the American author of Tuesdays with Maury, The Five People You Meet in Heaven, and The Timekeeper, and others as well. But while McFadden and Jewell write mostly thrillers, and then Mitch Albom is more, I would say, Christian-based, mm-hmm. inspirationally based, the three authors' writings have very different styles. So how do their writings and individual styles impact and inspire you in your own writing?
Right. I know, that's why it's kind of funny, because it is all totally kind of different, but they're all good. So for me, it's almost like an escape from reality sometimes, you know, like to be real. Like if I'm sitting there at night and it's been a crazy day and I've had the kids all over me and I'm tired, I've bartended till 1 a.m, I'm exhausted. I get home, I'm like, I need to read. I need to like just escape a little bit, you know? But I love the thrillers. I'm all about crime shows too, and like ID, like all of that. So those books, it's like one will be a crime, one will be a thriller, one will be a murder mystery. And then I get to each album, which is like Christian based. And then that gives me more of like a motivational, it kind of depends on like what mood I'm in. But I feel like the thrillers, it's like watching a scary movie for somebody that likes scary movies. The detail is just so much better than a movie, but you escape for a little bit and you're like, man, this is so good. Or like, I don't know. It takes you on a ride, and it's just so intriguing to me, and it's just fun. And then like when there's a bunch of twists and turns, like Freda McFadden always has like the best twist in her, and every single book, there's a twist through it. And then always at the end, there's always a twist. Oops. I didn't want to give that away. I'm just kidding. And then, you know, Lisa Jewell with like the crime and all that, but still just the writing in general, it's so good. And it inspires me to almost want to write a thriller myself. Cause I'm like, man, there's just such good writing that it keeps you from start to finish. Cause having ADHD myself, I'm like, if this book is not good after like page 7, I'm putting it down. So, you know, if I recommend a book to you, it's going to be good. Cause I'm like, we're good. Just listen to it. Just listen to it on your audio pod or audio book or your, you know, cause sometimes I'll do both. I'll have a Freda McFadden book in hand, and then I'll have like a Lisa Jewell book on audio. So during the day, or I'll listen or I'll read one of them and then do the opposite at night. It's like, just like puts me to sleep too at the same time.
Do you prefer one more or over the other? In other words, audibles versus reading the tactile, you know, page turner.
I love like books. I don't really do eBooks because I like to have, I don't know. I'm weird. I like the smell of books, old books. I don't know. So I always go, I'm a book junkie. I'll go to the bookstores and just buy books all day long. That'll be like my day to myself. Sometimes I'll just go and buy a bunch of books and just put it on my list and I'll read. But audiobooks are so great because having 3 kids, it's so hard right now. You know, you're like in survival mode. You're like, but I want to get these books and I have a goal. My book, it's like 4 books a month. I got to get these done. So I'll be like listening to the audiobooks and I'm like, I read 5 books this month. And my husband's like, you did not read, you listened. That does not the same thing. And I'm like, okay, well, I did half and half. I read and then I did audiobook.
So you get less credit for listening.
Exactly. I'm like, hey, come on, man. No, but I genuinely love to read in hand, but the audiobooks are newer to me. I honestly just started listening to them like, I want to say 6 months ago. Mm-hmm. And it helps me on the way to work, or if I'm, you know, just trying to calm down, or I'm going to therapies for my son. It's like a long drive and I just go ahead and listen to him. And it's interesting. And then also put your mind at ease too. If you're stressed or you're thinking about something else, it's like, okay, well, here we go. I could, you know, I'm getting into the book and I don't know. It's just, they both, I like 50-50.
Yeah, that's fair. So switching gears, people can actually come visit with you and meet up with you. I know you're a bartender locally here in Star at, is it Helen's?
Helen and Marie's.
Yeah. Helen and Marie's, yeah. And which is a really fun place. I know sometimes they have karaoke and music and
yes,
it's a really fun place for folks to go. And then you're there in the evenings, some nights. Okay. And then also sometimes at Old State Saloon, mm-hmm. you bartend there as well. So if people want to come say hi or talk to you about your book, they can see you there. That's kind of cool.
Yes, sounds good. Come see me.
you also... It's obvious you've shared it as well that you're a huge nature lover. You love to kayak, hike, camp. And you mentioned camping a lot with your family. And you also like to rock hound, you call it. Well, and being the gem state, have you found anything really unusual?
Oh my gosh, I have no idea. My husband has so many rocks in the house right now. He has shelves everywhere. We had to buy more shelves because I walk in the house and I'm just like, oh, another one. Or 20 more or 30 more, like, but they are pretty amazing. I mean, it's fun. We found like Jasper. We've got so many geodes and just crystals all over the house and just all kinds of different things, agates and just a bunch of stuff. Mm. The whole garage is filled right now. Like I'll have a panic attack if he goes again next weekend, because he probably will bring home like a truck full. He goes, you don't want to know what I just brought home. And I'm like, I don't even want to know right now, but it is fun. I'm not going to lie. I'm slicing them open and seeing what it's just like. It's like an Easter egg hunt. It's like, what am I going to get?
That's kind of neat. I mean, and again, being that you're in the perfect place for that, being the gem state. Mm-hmm. So I think that's awesome. And then what are some of your favorite places to go outdoor, get outdoors and really enjoy nature?
So I have a lot of places that I would just pull up on like a nature trail or a word of mouth or wherever. I just try to find it on All Trails app, wherever it is. And I would just go. And a lot of the places that I found that were my favorite were probably, there was a couple places in Idaho City. There are places in Garden Valley, Loman, Ketchum, I gotta say Oregon. I won't give away all my spots, but someplace in Oregon, a couple places in Oregon. I mean, there's local places, mm-hmm. you know, like I'll just do my local walks if it's down near Eagles where I usually like to go. But when I like to get lost, it's usually up towards Garden Valley somewhere, you know, somewhere that I could do the hot springs or, you know, while he's working. Yeah. Most places like that.
Okay, good. And then, we always try to have the tip of the show because TIP is the acronym for the Idaho podcast. So I'd like to ask you, what is the tip you'd like to share with our listeners?
So my tip that I always like, my motto in life is, and I also write that in my book, I like to say that I just love as many things as possible because in the end, it really, nothing else really matters. I mean, I love everything. I'll love people. I love meeting new friends, new adventures, hobbies, just trying new things, getting out of my comfort zone. It kind of all wraps up into that, you know, just loving as many things as possible. So, because everything else just fades in time. So love as many things as possible because everything else fades in time. That is my motto.
Love as many things as possible. Mm-hmm. I love that. And the greatest of these is love for sure.
Yes, it is.
Awesome. Well, Kelsey, it's been a pleasure getting to know you. And I appreciate you sharing the book, Roots, Reflections, and Chaos with our listeners today. And I encourage you to go get it. It's available on Amazon. Mm-hmm. And it's a great book and supporting the local cause, which I am always big on. Yes. So, but thanks for being on the show and sharing your insight and sharing your journey and your Idaho story. We really appreciate it very much.
Oh, yes. Thank you. I appreciate you so much. Thank you so much.
Of course. And thanks for joining us today on the Idaho podcast. Remember to check us out on your favorite podcast platform and subscribe, as well as checking out our website at theidahopodcast.com and subscribe there as well. We really appreciate your support. Make it a great week and we'll see you soon. Take care.